This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
So much happening in the NFL right now. A lot of moves being made. We'll get into what the Seahawks have done, what they haven't done, all of that. But right now we get a chance to speak to a man who's been watching the Green Bay Packers up close and personal, watching every moment of it, and can speak to a couple things going on with this team of interest out here. Bringing in Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers, on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, sir?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're following all the moves like I'm sure you are, and right now Green Bay is kind of in the center of it with the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, which we'll ask you about in a moment. But the Seahawks make a move to bring back a player that they drafted and was here for five seasons, and Jaron Reed, who spent his last season there in Green Bay. So it's been a couple years since we've seen him, you know, really focusing on him. What did he bring to the table out there in Green Bay? What was the feeling about him?
He's a good, solid player. I think he really, solidified parts of that defensive line, working alongside Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry. I kind of was hoping the Packers would be able to bring him back, but, obviously he wanted to go back to Seattle, and that's a good move for him. But he was good. He was solid with the Packers last year.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, Wayne, the way he left. They gave him a deal that really was going to be beneficial for him, but he wanted a restructure type of deal. And, I thought it was a little impetuous, but he ended up working out for him, I think, because he went to Kansas City and, I believe won a ring while he was there. But as far as, his leadership and things like that, what can you tell us about how he's developed?
Well, I wasn't in the locker room a whole lot to see what his leadership was. I know he was well liked in the locker room, and there's no doubt about that. He fit in well with the guys, that type of thing. But, his impact long term, no, I don't think I could speak to that.
Was he a guy that you were hoping he was going to come back? Did you get the sense the team made any attempt to keep him out there and this was just a better deal, or was there even a move made by the Packers to keep him there?
Well, that's a question I can't answer because I'm not in the personnel meetings with Brian Gutekunst and his staff, the general manager. But, I think that there were positives of Jaron Reed. He was very solid against the run. He offered a little bit of pass rush, but maybe not as much as they had hoped. And they've got some young players, including, Devontae Wyatt, whom they drafted in the first round. He started playing later in the year after Dean Lowry went down with an ankle injury. And, they probably are looking at a situation where it would just behoove them to get some of these younger guys on the field.
Hey, Wayne, what can you tell us about Jordan Love? Just interesting that the whole, we're kind of watching it from afar. Like, we don't hear a lot from him. If the Packers do move on from Aaron Rodgers, what kind of leadership, what can people expect from him?
Well, I can just tell you this about the kid. He's handled everything in a somewhat adverse position. I mean, hey, listen, in the draft, you don't get to choose where you go. They choose you, right? So he gets chosen by the Packers in the first round, comes to Green Bay, and now you've got Aaron Rodgers there, and that whole scenario develops. And, the kid just was quiet, kept to himself, did his work, put in the time, and has, kind of blossomed over these last couple of years. And I give Aaron Rodgers some credit for that as well. He was a very good teammate and imparted a lot of the wisdom that he had in the game on this young prospect and, treated him well. So I think this kid has basically sat there and soaked everything up, and I'm anxious to see him play because he has ability. The reason he was drafted in the first round was he can spin it. He can run. He is a good athlete, and so he's got all the tangibles you look for. It's the intangibles that we're going to start finding out about now when he becomes a starting quarterback. But so far, so good. He has developed nicely, and, the Packers are draft and develop. And, you draft, you develop, and then you've got to play the guy, and now it's time to play.
Wayne, how crazy is it, the similarities between the Rodgers situation and the Favre situation? I'm sure you've been talking about it, asked about it a million times, but the idea that this is a guy that was the face of the organization, wins a Super Bowl for you, is just beloved, a superhero out there, and you've got a young guy sitting behind this icon in the city, and then they both are in a position where it's sort of dramatic. They're leaving the city and going to the Jets, of all teams. Yeah. They both end up there, and maybe Jordan Love turns into the next Aaron Rodgers. But the similarities are just weird. What's the feeling from the fan base out there? Are they relieved? Are they upset? How are they receiving all of this?
Oh, I'd say about 50-50, but it's bittersweet for those of us that know Aaron Rodgers and have followed his career closely. And I knew him from his college days. I happened to be on the ESPN telecast of his first start for Cal at Illinois. And so, you know, I've been on to Aaron Rodgers for a long time, one of my favorite people in the business and my favorite Packer of all time. So understand, this is bittersweet. But there comes a time and a point in everyone's career where, you know, it's very seldom does a player play for one team his entire career, especially if that career lasts 15, 18 years, which is where Aaron is right now. So, but I can tell you this, if we were to go back, 2008, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
If we were to go back 15 years ago, this is the last kind of symmetry Aaron Rodgers would have ever thought would happen to him. That it would be almost just like the Favre situation, the trade to the team they traded Favre to, et cetera, and all that. I mean, that's the last thing Aaron wanted. He did not want to repeat that history, but it's interesting how it has turned that way. And it's a much different situation in that Aaron's going to a team that has a lot of people in place, very good defense, excellent skill position players around him. They just signed Alan Lazard. Aaron's really high on Lazard. I think he's got a very good situation there in New York. Now, their offensive line is not as good as the line he played behind in Green Bay, but their defense is outstanding. And, you know, this is, hey, when he won the Super Bowl, he had a top five defense behind him.
Well, and Wayne, yeah, no kidding. I mean, what a great defense that he could possibly walk into with the Jets there. But tell us a little bit. I mean, he's a very polarizing guy. We had an experience with him one time during an interview where he was really super cool. Everybody loved him and, you know, just seemed very down to earth. And then, you know, a lot of people look at him and say he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. But I'm kind of torn on it, but I love watching him play. But tell us a little bit about the real Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, he's fiercely loyal. Okay, you know, he's the last guy I want as an enemy. Let me put it that way. He is very loyal to the people who are loyal to him, and especially the people who were good with him on his way up. In other words, before he became a superstar. Okay. And so I have found him to be nothing but just, he and I have had a very good relationship. We don't go out drinking together. Let me put it that way. He's like half my age. I could be his dad, seriously. So it's not that kind of relationship, but he would spend time with me at his locker and on a given week and go over the defense of the upcoming opponent, that type of thing. He was just great, gracious with his time. He's, I think, a wonderful human being. He's kind of like my youngest son, Brian. They have very strong feelings about how things should be, and how people should be, and they are extremely idealistic, okay? more so that it kind of put me a little bit at unease, you know, but very idealistic and very strong in their beliefs. And Aaron is, he's just a quality individual. I hope he goes and the Jets win a Super Bowl with him. I think that's what my hope would be for my friend Aaron Rodgers.
Is he, you know, in football years, you talked about his age. I mean, in life, he's still a young man, but he's in football years, he's 39. You're getting toward the end of it there. He's 1 year removed from an MVP. Does he look physically to be able to do exactly what he was able to do 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago? Or have you seen his game change a bit based on age?
I really can't say that I have. But again, I'm not a scout. But Does he run as much as he used to? No. Does he spend as much time outside the pocket where he made those great plays under the McCarthy era? No, not as much, but he can still do it, and he can still spin the football, and he is the smartest man in the room. There's no question in my mind about that, whatever room he's in. I think he can – I don't think his skill level has fallen off. And I will say this about the receiving core last year. It was the receiving core he had last year, minus Davante Adams, was probably the least experienced, accomplished receiving core he played with in Green Bay. You know, I'm not ripping these guys. I mean, they had rookies. Their best receivers, really, their best talent were in the rookies. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, these are going to be very good players, but they're rookies. And, you know, those were the best players he had out there. So last year, I would say, beware. Don't bank too much on what happened last year and the statistics that were posted and all that. He had a thumb injury. He had a rib injury. He had a bulky knee. But I think Aaron Rodgers healthy is still as good as it gets.
It's kind of interesting, Wayne. You know, I'm pretty old school, and, I kind of went through the same thing with Russell Wilson here, where he kind of seemingly forced his way out. And as far as, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he understands that he's the show, and, you know, just the relationships, you know, the difference. You know, I always say coaches coach, players play, you know, owners own, and he's kind of meddling a little bit in the area of, you know, and really what he's trying to do is control his destiny, right? But I'm just curious how that strikes you, if you think that the NFL is going to start to go that way a little bit.
You know, I don't think so. I mean, that's the NBA you're talking about.
Yes, yeah.
That is the NBA, okay? The players control the NBA. But understand that the roster of an NBA team is, what is it, 15 players now? It used to be 13. I think it's 15 or something like that. An NFL roster is 53 men. Yeah. And, you know, I understand how important the quarterback is. Nobody's discounting how important the quarterback is. But you need 52 other guys to be on the same page in order to win. So I don't think we're going to see a situation like that where, you know, a quarterback takes over quite like that. But obviously they're extremely important, and obviously they have a say in what goes on. But it's not like the NBA where it's LeBron saying, okay, here I come, and you got to get this guy and this guy and this guy, and we're going to do this. And by the way, I don't like the coach, so we're going to fire him at midseason. It's nothing like that. The NFL can't be like that because the concentration of players is so small in the NBA compared to the huge roster you have in an NFL operation.
Hey, Wayne, we appreciate you taking the time on what I'm sure is a very busy time for you right now. So thanks so much for the insight. We appreciate it, and good luck on the upcoming season.
Always good being with you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Wayne.
There you go. Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Green Bay Packers, with a little insight on the Aaron Rodgers situation and Jaron Reed. If you missed any of that conversation with Wayne or anything from the show for that matter, just head to the podcast page at seattlesports.com. You can click on our picture, and then it'll be right there waiting for you after the show. What do they do after that, Lefko?
Subscribe.
Everybody was going to get him.
Thought I was going to get him.
This would have been the time I was watching college basketball. He almost got me.
He obviously had a lot more to say about Aaron than he did Jaron Reed. Jaron Reed's numbers, I don't know if you've looked at him recently, Dave. It's weird. He had that one big season with the Seahawks, 10.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. You thought, my goodness, this is an interior guy with it. We've talked about how rare that is for an interior guy to put up those kind of numbers. He followed that the next year. Now, he didn't play a full season. He played in 18, he had 10.5 sacks. 2 years before that, 1.5 each year. So he just blew up in his third year. Then the next year, he only played in 10 games, had 2 sacks. His final year with the Seahawks, he played a full season, 6.5 sacks. 1 year with the Chiefs, they did lose the Super Bowl that year, by the way, to the Bucs. So he got to a Super Bowl but lost. But yeah, in that, played every game, played 17 games in 21, 2 sacks that year, or 2.5. And then last year with the Green Bay Packers, he played every game, all 17, 2.5 sacks. So I'm wondering, you know, and I don't know the defense, you know, what they were asking him to do in Kansas City and Green Bay versus what they did here with Seattle, but he had that one huge year, and then he had the year in 2020. The last one here was 6.5. Those were his two best seasons, and since then, that kind of production hasn't been there.
Yeah, and he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
But you paid $5 million for him, and if we were talking about free agency even, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, you'd go, that's a lot for Jaron Reed, and it's really, really not. So I'm curious, you know, like I said, 30 years old, maybe they think this is a chance for him to resurrect. They know him. You know, it's an interesting one. I think it's
kind of surprising, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, because I wasn't so sure that, and this is where I don't think you can give enough credit to Pete and John for how they treat guys going out the door. Because, I mean, I remember when he left here and we found out the details, we're like, you've got to be kidding me, Jaron. Like, I thought maybe Pete and John would, like, sit him down and go, look, we're not your agent, but this is a really good deal for you.
Yeah, this is, you know? We would advise you to take this.
Yeah, but what he wanted, and maybe pride got in the way, you know, he wanted a restructured deal. He felt like he was, you know, coming off of one of his better years, I guess, 6.5. He had 10.5 before. Maybe he was like, been a couple of places, and like, I want to go back to Seattle and impressed him with, you know, the things that he said. And, you know, you have to think about it, even though it's a $10 million deal over a couple of years, it's kind of a fill-in role,
yeah,
you know, for him.
Does that say anything to you that, and Wayne couldn't answer it, and I guess that's fair. He's not behind the scenes with the GM getting the details, but I'm wondering if Green Bay had any desire to bring him back. Did they make it? It's kind of like we were talking about with Rashad Penny. You look at the number and go, wow, were they outbid? Like, Penny's deal is much more extreme. He's making just over $1 million to go to Philly. So I'm looking at it going, man, I don't know if Seattle even made an attempt to bring him back. I wonder if the Packers had any conversations with him, like, hey, here's what we're thinking. We'd like to have you back, but here's financially what we can do, and this was just a better offer, or did they just not even engage in it, and he was just out there, yeah, to be had?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the urgency was with him on the market. What I'm interested in, maybe we can talk to John about this tomorrow, is just that, you know, how did this come together? I mean, the way that he left, and then if you look at his numbers since, not like great, but just bringing him back, what does that mean to your D-line? Or is he just kind of a guy that you're filling in with? I guess he's not going to say that, but yeah, it's just a guy. He's just a guy.
He's a dude plugging a hole there. We'll be fine.
Like, what did they see, and why are they excited to bring him back? Because, you know, they're going to be fired up about this, you know, Jaron Reed, you know, we got him back, and, you know, I'd be curious to see what it was that they saw from him.
Yeah, it is an interesting situation, and boy, it does speak to what John told us last time. You know, we asked him about Russ. We asked him about that article in The Athletic that you know, said Russ basically went to the owner and tried to get John and Pete removed. And, you know, John didn't get into details of it, but just talked about, you know, same thing Pete said, that they kind of always keep the dialogue open and they're not burning bridges and guys kind of come back. This kind of proves it again, because Jaron Reed left, there were some kind of hurt feelings there when he left, and we certainly saw it with Sherm. We saw it with Marshawn. We've seen it with Earl. Now, Earl hasn't come back. But we saw it, you know, in other situations, you know, where it felt like, all right, that's not a great ending to this partnership they had. But yet they all come back. And I assume Russ and Bobby will be the same thing. Whether Bobby plays here again or not, they'll be embraced and they'll be part of the Ring of Honor. And, you know, I think that goes to what John talked about. Like, yeah, I think, you know, listen, feelings get hurt and guys are going to say things. Things are going to happen, but they seem to just kind of float over the top of that. They don't cling to it. They just kind of keep moving forward and keep the door open to reestablish that relationship, whether it's just a friendship and we're going to honor you, or you come back and play for the team.
Yeah, and he said, he used the term water under the bridge, right? Yeah. And for the Russell Wilson thing, and that's what we're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, something like this. I mean, I think they were probably shaking their heads at the time, like, wow, like I said, you should call his agent. Tell Jaron he really needs to take this deal. But yeah, they just move on from that. I don't think they ever have any ill will or ill feelings or anything like that. They don't carry grudges. So, you know, I think that's such a great, because if you're not that way, and if you are more contentious, and, you know, when Jaron Reed, like, you know, you could have handled that differently. He said, are you kidding me? We're giving you this. Why aren't you doing this? This is just dumb or whatever. You know, that none of that. None of that. Well, they always leave everything open.
Yeah, they could take umbrage Dave, have you ever taken umbrage?
I've heard of people taking umbrage. Don't want anybody taking umbrage.
Don't take umbrage. They could have with some of the things that have been said on, you know, with guys walking out the door. And Sherm was pretty vocal about some things he didn't love. And then we heard Marshawn talking about he wants an apology and all this stuff.
Right.
And if I'm them, you know, they're better men than I am because I might be sitting in that office going, you kiss my backside, apology. What are you, crazy?
I know.
You know, and the old kumbaya, huh? No, everybody's tired of my message, I guess. Okay. You know, I might cling to those. I'm a little more petty, Dave. I might cling to those things.
Yes, I know, Bob.
Whereas no. Pete and John, hey, they rise above it. They're just like, hey, okay, we get it. You know, guys, when you part ways, it's not often, hey, this was great. Love you, buddy. Love you.
Yeah.
Often somebody's not happy in that situation.
It's amazing. Like, and, you know, pretty much same thing with Pete. I haven't been around Pete nearly as much as I've been around John. Like I said, I mean, never an ill word. Like, you know, never say anything bad about the players or anything. It's always kind of a, well, you know, we thought this guy was better, but that's just a very disciplined. They're very disciplined about two things. One is that they never badmouth anybody. And then the other thing is they keep things really tight.
Maybe they just badmouth players to each other.
Yeah, like it never Pete leaves and John the room. Can have that conversation.
Yeah, they're in a car together. They're flying together and they're like this.
They do the cone of silence.
Yeah, that's right. They get it all out there. They purge all their ill will right there to each other and talk about what a creep this guy is and can believe this guy said that. This guy tried to do this. And then
this guy wants an apology.
Yeah, yeah. they can make all their faces and noises there. And then when they get out in the rest of the world, they're, hey, everything's love.
All better.
Everything's love. So there you go. All right. Our thanks to Wayne Larrivee for joining us on the program. Coming up, there are more concerns popping up around Jalen Carter. We touched on that earlier. We're going to get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We touched on this one earlier, Dave, and I'm still just I continue to be amazed by how the mind of some of these athletes work. And I don't know if it's being pampered and catered to their entire youth because they were deemed special and different and they were going to be somebody, so maybe they were able to do things and skate by and, you know, excuses were made for. I don't know. I don't know what leads to this, because when I look at what's going on with Jalen Carter, and for those that just tuned in, we touched on it earlier, but this is a guy, again, who what, a few weeks ago, prior to the news coming out about that accident that he was involved in, he was part of it, was not driving the car, but ultimately, you know, two people lost their lives in the situation that he was a part of. Before that, if you were somebody that looked at all the mock drafts like we were, and there's a million of them out there, before the Bears traded their pick, he was thought to be potentially the number one overall pick in this draft this year. And he certainly is aware of that. He knows about the hype and what's being said about him and all the attention and expectations, and he's great and he's a difference maker. And remember, we had the guy on from Georgia who's telling us,
nothing wrong with this kid.
Yeah. Yeah. We always ask about the young guys. Well, what do they need to work on? Nothing.
Well,
nothing.
The other thing is we asked him about the guy's character, right? He said,
yeah.
Nothing there. I find that hard to believe.
I do too.
I mean, I'm not calling him a liar. I'm just saying that maybe there were some things that he overlooked, because what you can say about what he did at his pro day is just entirely immature.
Unprofessional.
And unprofessional.
Yeah. For those that don't know, by the way, just to bring everybody up to speed, Georgia had their pro day today. He came in 9 pounds heavier than he was at the combine just a week and a half ago. And he didn't even complete his position drills because apparently he was cramping and he was breathing heavily, which sounds like a guy who's not in condition to even get through drills, much less, you know, if you can't shine in that situation in shorts and a T-shirt.
And you know what's coming.
Yes, exactly.
That's the other thing. So, yeah, it just makes you wonder, like, okay, how is he going to regard his NFL? I mean, this is the biggest deal. Every little kid wants to get in the NFL, man. I remember just working so hard and thinking, I can't believe that I'm here, that I'm actually, and my agent was telling me, maybe first, but second round, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I mean, I'm getting on my bike, I'm working out, I was working harder than ever, because you show up and you're not in shape. I mean, that's the bare minimum that you should be. But, yeah, I guess he was cramping up.
And breathing heavily. I like that part of it, of the article.
Breathing heavily, yeah. Maybe that's, yeah, he runs a 40 and he's just gassed and you're like, that shouldn't tire you out.
Well, yeah, and he didn't even run the 40. He only did the position drills. He didn't he didn't even do the 40. And just the idea that this would be what happens on the heels of that news, and it's the biggest news out of the combine. It's the biggest news as we approach the draft. You know, what does this do to his draft stock? What does it do? Do you take a chance on him? Is this a red flag? All those questions, which are perfectly legitimate. And he knows, again, those aren't secrets. Those aren't whispers behind closed doors. That's out there in everybody, every channel you turn to, some talking head, somebody's writing it, saying it. So you're aware of that. Wouldn't you go out of your way to say, you know what, I'm putting on the best show I could possibly put on to try to erase that question out of people's mind? Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with this case, but I'm going to show you get me on the field. Yeah. Here's what you're getting.
Well, and this is the one sport really where it matters the most. You know, football tests you as a person. And it's not just physically, it's emotionally, it's mentally. It's tough, man. You have people, you know, basically you're in an NFL game. The guy across from you is trying to kill you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just the nature of the NFL. And so that's where, you know, we talked about this yesterday with, Bump and Stacy had Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl. And he started off, the very first question I think Stacy asked him was, you know, what do you think about Jalen Carter? And, you know, he said, look, the way that the Seahawks have approached, they've been very dedicated to, you know, not getting guys with character issues.
I've got the cut here.
Yeah, let's hear that. It'll be much more well put than what I just said. Okay.
Peter John was quoted as saying they credited last year's draft to you know, being uncompromising when it came to the character part of it. And if that's the case, if that holds true, and I would think they would try to attack this draft the same way they attacked last one after they got those results. I mean, that would put Jalen Carter out of it. Because there's a pattern of decision making and behavior, and you know there's the stuff that's out there in the media, and there's the stuff that the teams know, and I'm sure they know a lot more than we know. So I wouldn't guess if they stay on the same path that they went on last year to have such a great class, that Jalen would factor into their plan.
Two key words there. The one you pointed out, pattern, and the other one is uncompromising. They're just, and I remember them talking about that even a couple of years ago. Look at the kids that they got this last draft, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, Charles Cross, Abraham, he looks Lucas, really good. And yeah, I almost called him Toro.
It's because you're watching Toro the WBC the
Canadian,
today.
Yeah, Brent Stecker's got to have the Canadian team on in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's...
Tariq Woolen, Kobe Bryant.
Great class.
Ken Walker. Yeah, you're right. They nailed it in terms of talent and nailed it in terms of character, it seems. I don't pretend to know any of these guys, but they all came off exceptionally well.
Great.
I'm just... I guess this is the question I would ask, and you guys, Seahawks fans, text in. I'm curious on this because we all know what he's able to do. And that Georgia guy that we had spoken with, was he their play-by-play guy?
Yeah.
Was he he was a sideline reporter.
He was their pre and post game.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he couldn't have been more enthusiastic about this guy, basically talking like he's already going to be in the Hall of Fame and you'd be silly not to even consider him. But,
you know, it's such
I'm just going to give him the question. Knowing what you know about him now, this whole thing, the gaining 9 pounds, didn't work out. He's breathing heavily, all that. Obviously, the car situation. Would you, if he's there at 5, are you going to be mad at the Seahawks if they don't take him?
No, not at all. I mean, look, this is a guy that could not make it on the field. We never saw Malik McDowell. Never.
Yeah.
He was never, I thought I ran into him at the front desk one time when I was walking through, but that's it. He never got out on a football field. So what's the point? And look, it's just a matter of, how mature or how immature is he? And maybe he gets it and turns around. You know who I was thinking that he maybe should talk to somebody like Brian Bosworth, who mm-hmm. Bos, you know, he was very He said his career haunted him because, you know, injuries and, you know, the things that happened to him and, you know, playing hurt and stuff like that. I mean, you got a chance to play and be a top five pick. And, you know, I hate to think about him if he continues down this path that, you know, 20, 30 years from now that he looks back with a ton of regret, because it's just like I always tell the guys, it's no good on the outside. Stay inside. Yeah. Stay in the NFL as long as you possibly can. It's such a great gig. You know, there are probably other sports that are, you know, just as fun and great that where you don't get hurt. But I liked that part of it. I liked the danger part of it. And I liked the fact that not everybody would do it. So, yeah, it's just a shame that he's seemingly anyway. And we haven't really heard from the kid. All we're hearing is, okay, we heard about that story. Now we've heard about a pattern. And then this fiasco at his workout, you know, is just, it's ridiculous. It's one thing if they sprung it on him like, oh, hey, you know, get your cleats. And he knew.
Yeah.
He knew it was coming.
Still elected. He didn't run the 40. He didn't do any of the cone drills. All he did were position drills, and he couldn't get through them. So
that's pretty bad, because everybody else who they were working out was doing all those things.
Yeah. And I don't, maybe he's, you know, I haven't read it. You've read multiple articles on this. Perhaps is he dealing with an injury and he couldn't train and that's why he put on 9 pounds? If that's the case, I haven't read that anywhere, but I'm just throwing out a possibility, you know, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. If that were the case, and I'm his agent, wouldn't you just say, hey, you know what? We're not going to be part of the Georgia Day. We're going to hold his own private workout in another week or 2 weeks. If they're under the weather or something led to him putting on this weight and not being able to physically get through his workout, I would think his agent would say, you know what? We're going to put this off a week or whatever it's going to be.
That's pretty bad, because how long has it been since he played? I mean, what was the date of their championship game? Was it
like the 10th or 11th?
10th or 11th January. Of January.
Yeah.
So 2 months he went from being able to play in a game to can't get through the drills.
Yeah, not a good look. All right, coming up, one former NFL GM has an idea about a team that could go after Lamar Jackson. We're going to hear about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
The Mariners were rained out today, but they had a game yesterday. And during that game, Jacob Nottingham, it was kind of a running joke of 2021 because he kept getting sent down, then traded to the Brewers, then back to the Mariners, literally like 7 times. He had a huge inside the park home run.
1-2 to Nottingham, infield straight up pitch, swing on, sent to center field, slicing drive, long run by the center fielder on the track at the 410 mark, dives and crashes into the fence. The umpire said he didn't hold on, and motoring for third, lumbering to third is Nottingham. Manny waving him on. Here's the throw to the plate, and he is safe! And lying on his back, doing that. He looks like he's doing a snow angel. Jacob Nottingham has circled the bases, and the Mariners have a 6-2 lead.
Inside the park home run there, huh?
For a catcher.
Now, more importantly, you said they were rained out today?
Yeah, weren't they rained out?
I don't know. Is that the weather's bad out there? What's going on?
Uh-oh. They were rained out today. Yeah. No, it'll be good by the time we get there.
Have you been checking?
No, but it's supposed to be warm. It barely rains in Arizona. That's why today was so...
obviously enough to rain out a game. I don't know.
So surprising. Yeah, Shannon will join us to update us.
I really enjoyed that call by Dave Sims. Really enjoyed that. That was well done.
On his back, like he's doing a snow angel.
Yeah. You could picture it.
The video, I'll show you the video. That's kind of what brought this to my attention. The video is hilarious because not the fastest dude.
So the catcher.
He is. Well, he said lumbering.
Well,
right?
Dave said lumbering. Yeah. I was like, okay, I don't think he's going to make it.
Yeah.
Sweeping the dial.
So we'll laugh at that video and then we can bring it up again. But yeah, so former Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff was asked about which team would make sense for Lamar Jackson. And he said, yeah, well, his former team would probably make the most sense.
I would go back to my former team. I mean, I know they just signed Heinicke. I get that. But they are in a situation where they obviously need a quarterback, and they need a quarterback that, you know, has all levels of ability, not only to throw the ball, move the ball around. I believe they are a team that should be, you know, totally focused on this.
It's such a big commitment, though. I think just about every team that's in search of a quarterback would want Lamar Jackson on their roster without question. It's not a normal situation in the way of what the expectation that he has.
Well, not only that, also, I mean, just curious, like, how much do you have to change your offense? I mean, that's a pretty big restructure. I mean, if the Seahawks, you have somebody like Geno Smith and, you know, the way he operates, and Geno's not a runner or anything like that. Their offense, when he was playing, like, he would basically be like, he's taking snaps at quarterback, but it was kind of like the Wildcat.
Yeah.
Where he's got, you know, a guy, you're playing against all 11, first of all. There's not a dead quarterback who hands the ball off. And then the way that they did it, where they have a guard, you know, and a tight end lined up in the backfield, it's like, you can't stop it. There's just so many things that Lamar Jackson can do, but don't you think if you get Lamar Jackson more than almost any other quarterback, you got to kind of build your entire offense around him and what his best attributes are?
Without question. Yeah, you can't bring him in and say, all right, we're making you a pocket passer. We don't want you leaving the pocket unless it's absolutely necessary. So, yeah, you're bringing him in for a reason, because he is different and special in what he does, and you're not going to eliminate that part of his game. So you're right. You'd have to, all right, how do we maximize what he does?
Well, and if it's true that he tweeted, right, that it was $133 million for a three-year deal.
Yeah.
I think he needs to consider that. I mean, this is a good play. They already know him. They understand, you know, what their offense is already set up to. Because you go to the Falcons, I mean, you're going to have to change a lot of things, more than any other quarterback in the league.
Sweeping the dial.
I guess the Aaron Rodgers news technically isn't official yet. Nothing's happened. It was just Aaron Rodgers coming out today and saying, yes, he's going to go to the Jets. No trade has happened yet. Everyone's talking like it has, but ESPN's Field Yates kind of outlined really the high risk right now for the Jets because of everything they've built toward if this doesn't work out with them and Aaron Rodgers, if he goes there and plays poorly.
This is their big swing at quarterback, and I think that while it is great to upgrade from Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, that the fear, I think, if I'm a Jets fan, which there may not be any right now, given how excited they certainly are, is that you have done so many good things over the past few years with one massive, massive whiff on Zach Wilson. But if Aaron Rodgers does not work out over the next couple of years, this core that you've built to put together to sustain wins is going to fall apart pretty quickly as well, because it gets much more expensive right now with Aaron Rodgers on the bill than as compared to where it would have been if Zach Wilson had panned out.
But he's a massive whiff, so they gotta hope that Aaron Rodgers has still got it and still can get it done in a system that's not what he's been in his entire career in Green Bay with a different crew. Now, I know he wants to bring over a bunch of his friends and Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb, and they signed Lazard. I don't know. He goes to a media market where it is vastly different than what he experienced in Green Bay. And the second he does not play well, they will be like buzzards circling a carcass. Yeah. They will be on him. So the expectation is, not only do you go there and play well, you better win a Super Bowl out there, because he's not 26. He's not 27. This guy is 39 years old. How long is he going to be a Jet? Is he just going to play the 2 years left on his deal? Or, I mean,
this, well, remember, Bob, with the media, he's the smartest guy in the room.
That's what we've heard.
We heard that.
Doesn't matter what room he's in.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Wayne Larrivee said that, I was going to say, even when you're in the room, Wayne? Because I'm not willing to admit that. I think it's interesting that the Jets are just kind of like, you know what? I mean, if they do go through with this, just throw their arms up and go, we're crappy at drafting quarterbacks.
So we're good at this.
We're going to go get, I mean, sometimes you got to know yourself, right? They're no good at it. Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson.
We're crappy at drafting quarterbacks.
What was Darnold, like, number three pick?
Yes. Number three overall pick.
And number two with Wilson.
Number two with Wilson.
Yeah, we suck at this. So let's bring in a guy that we absolutely know, four-time MVP. If he doesn't have a good year, it's his fault. Okay? But, it's interesting because, you know, I remember when they played the Seahawks, they were on their fifth quarterback. Now, there was, I think, three guys, because Flacco was one of them, White was one of them, and then Zach Wilson. Who did we get? I'm trying to remember. Was it White, I think? Mike White when we played him. So, but it was like their fourth or fifth change, and with three or four games left. So They have not been able to figure that out. I'm kind of curious. I mean, the Seahawks don't play the Jets. I don't care. I would love to see that whole circus unfold. Like Aaron Rodgers go to the, like you said, the New York media. And, you know, he's got a really good defense. He's got some good weapons. Maybe he can bring in some of his buddies who maybe, who was it that said the AARP? Was that?
No, that was Elombre.
Yeah. They got their AARP card, which you can get at age 50. But other than that, I think it would be really interesting to watch. Like, I would pay attention to Jet games.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt they'd be a big draw. There'd be a lot of curiosity to see if he can get them over the hump and make that investment worth whatever they end up trading for him and however they restructure that deal. I mean,
well, then when the schedule comes out, you know, all the primetime games, I would think the Jets would be added to a lot of different national games.
Yeah. I like your idea of them just going, yeah, we suck at quarterbacks.
Can't do it. I'm sorry. Know thyself.
We're not good at quarterbacks. That's very good. All right. Coming up, the Mariners were rained out today, but there's still plenty going on in Peoria. And our Mariners insider, Shannon Dreher, will join us next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.